Blog Talk Radio.
From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
And welcome to the Boomer and the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Monday, April 23rd, 2012, and we are broadcasting from our studios in the Feeding Arizona complex in Youngtown, Arizona, which is also home of the Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free. I'm Pete Peters. Deborah Brown would normally be with us, but she's preparing for a show that she's going to be doing this afternoon at 12 o'clock West Coast time, called Global. It's all about globalization. Go Global Now. And she will be doing the show with Dr. Taira Kobayeva, who is a Russian immigrant citizen, has worked for the UN, United States government, and for NASA. Interesting conversations for an hour, finding about different cultures and globalization and where everything fits into the world, and interesting information about the changing world. So listen to Deborah and Dr. Kobayeva at 12 o'clock West Coast time. And I'm Pete Peters. As I said, Deborah is preparing for that show and also putting our new edition of Boomer Experience Speaks online magazine together. You can see that at boomerandthebabe.com. Sign up there, and we'll be glad to send you a free copy every month, a new edition of Boomer Experience Speaks. Many of the contributors to Boomer Experience Speaks are guests on our show, and others that have their shows on our little Blog Talk network here, always with good information. We also produce videos and promotional products for your websites and your business, and the Boomer and the Babe network here on Blog Talk is home for many interesting and hopefully insightful conversations and all kinds of fun that we have along the way, not to mention the fact that we'd also do some very serious things as well. As I said, you can contact us at boomerthebabe.com, but we're going to get into the show, and I want to introduce you to our guest for today. Our guest is a life coach of sorts. She is a boomer-specialized life coach, and she doesn't necessarily talk to boomers about finances, although I'm sure she'll tell us that there's finances involved in a lot of stuff. But she's talking more with these boomers that are maybe trying to find their way. And we're going to find out more about what she does. Her name is Susan Braverman. Susan, welcome to the Boomer the Babe Show.
Thank you so much, Pete. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well,
and good morning, everybody.
Yeah, and good morning to you. And we are glad to have you, believe me. If Deborah were here, I mentioned this to you in the pre-show conversation, that she would ask you for your two-minute movie, which is a little bit more about what and who and where is Susan Braverman, and how did you get into what you're doing now. But by way of history, give us about your little two-minute movie, if you don't mind, and tell us who you are.
Okay. Well, that's always a work in progress, isn't it? As we talked about when we spoke before the show, I began as a child, as most of us did, and began actually as a social worker and spent 30 years doing that in the Boston area and had my own business providing trauma response services to companies that had experienced some sort of traumatic stressor. And my husband and I owned that together and worked nationally and internationally, working with lots of different companies and people at all levels of the organization. And then he was offered a job in the Washington, D.C. area, and which is where I was born and raised. And so I moved back here and while I was waiting for my social work license to transfer and trying to figure out what I wanted to do with myself, on a lark, I took a coaching course, even though what I had been doing for many years was coaching managers about how to help their employees recover from trauma. And I absolutely fell in love both with coaching and with the coaching community. Coaches are a wonderful, wonderful, open, exciting group of people. And I loved the work, and so that's what I've been doing ever since. Some of it is executive coaching. I work with a lot of managers in the federal sector in here in Washington. And I also have been drawn to working with people who are looking at what's next in their lives, what we're calling Chapter 3, after they're finished with their main careers and their children are launching or launched, and they're looking at what's next for them. So that's what I've been specializing in for the last number of years.
There's a lot of people that call themselves coaches. I mean, there is, as you indicated, a coaching industry. There's football coaches and basketball coaches and life coaches and weight loss coaches. But in your term, based on what you do, define the term coach for me.
Well, a coach, and that's a terrific question. There's a lot of confusion about that. A coach is not a therapist. Therapists work very specifically with people who are mentally ill, and there's a particular kind of relationship that a therapist has with a client that's quite different from what coaches do. Life coaches work with people to focus on where they are now and where they're trying to go, and they focus very much on the present and work with people around creating the future that they want. And the coach and client relationship is very much an equal, collegial relationship. My client and I are working together to create the life that the client wants to have. And the client client will do assignments that the client and the coach develop together that will move them forward. And the coach sees the client as creative, resourceful, and whole, and somebody who is fully capable of moving ahead and controlling their own lives and not somebody who is injured or damaged in any way. So that said, coaches are, it's like having your own private cheerleader. Coaches work with you to encourage you and to press you to move forward and to hold you accountable for doing what you say you're going to do to get to where you're trying to get to.
So is there, when you said you develop, did you call it, I guess you call it a program or a path possibly, that you work on that together so you can both determine exactly where this individual wants to go? Do you help them set goals and objectives?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's where it begins. So a client will come in to me and say, you know, I'm really looking at what's going to happen for me next after I leave this job and my kids are grown and they're leaving home. And now I want to find what's going to be next for me. And so we set some benchmark goals about where they're trying to get to, what would be an intermediate step, what would be the ultimate steps, and then work in a very systematic way towards those goals. That said, there are a lot of conversations that we have around values, around what's most important to them, around concrete possibilities, what kinds of activities are they most interested and excited by, where they want to live. And there's a whole host of questions that that we need to answer in order for them to figure out what's next for them.
Is there you set this plan? You put this plan together, and then you set it in action. Is there, for lack of a better word, is there homework? Do you give them assignments?
Absolutely, there sure is. The coaching relationship is one that goes on really 24/7, because it's not just what happens in the coaching conversations, which may happen several times a month, but the client has homework and they may want to report to the coach about how the homework is going, and they may want to send me assignments that they're working on. Some of the assignments can be written, like maintaining a journal about a particular issue or exploring a particular possibility in terms of work or where they want to live, for example. And so they would be in touch with me in between sessions to let me know how that's going. And I'd be able to give them feedback about how they're doing as well. So it's really an ongoing process.
I'm not familiar so much with I guess maybe I am. I say that maybe too hastily. Deborah does coaching. Deborah coaches people on how to write a book mechanically, physically, the things you have to think about, then what do you have to do to get it published, what do you have to do to get it promoted, and so on and so forth. And she coaches people, and she has a regular coaching program for that. So it sounds as though, although you may be coaching them for a lifestyle situation, the fact that somebody's writing a book to become an author, that could be a lifestyle in and of itself. So I guess maybe the two of you are doing some of the same things.
It sounds like we are. I don't know whether Deborah is credentialed as a coach and has gone through any kind of training program. There is an organization called the International Coach Federation, which certifies coaches at different levels and also accredits coach training programs. And I went through an ICF-certified coach training program and have the level of professional certified coach through the International Coach Federation. So then we are responsible for meeting certain standards and mastering certain competencies in order to qualify.
Gotcha. You know, Deborah's degree is in sociology, so.
Uh-huh. Well, I was going to say, if she coaches people around writing a book, maybe I need to be in touch with her.
It may well be. Now, you specialize in working with people that are, as you say, preparing for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Or the next stage of their life. At the Pooper and the Babe franchise here, we don't say anything. We don't really talk about retirement per se,
mm-hmm.
because it's our feeling. I mean, I know that people retire. I know people get great pensions and they have golden parachutes and they retire and they don't work and they play golf and they travel, and that's wonderful. But I am of the mind that the predominant number of boomers are always going to have to be doing something. And it may be an economic necessity. So, therefore, there has to be some kind of preparation for that next phase of your life, as you say. And what we say is that at 50, you're just getting started.
Absolutely.
So based on that and given that information, it sounds as though that's the kind of people that you're working with. How did you get interested in that area?
Well, I found myself working with people in that life stage. Let me say that I couldn't agree with you more about what you're saying. I think, quote-unquote, retirement has changed a lot since the days of our parents, when people didn't live as long, they weren't as healthy, and they often retired from work at 65 and didn't have that many years left to them. Now, people have a lot of time left, and they're healthy and with it and eager to be engaged in the world, and they don't want to just sit in a rocking chair or spend their days playing golf all day long. And I looked up the definition of retirement, or to retire, which is to retreat, to withdraw from action, or to go away. And so who in the world would want to do that?
They're going to have, Webster's going to have to change that one.
I think so. So I found myself working with people in that life stage and started to see a lot of common issues that people were struggling with. And then I realized, lo and behold, I'm in that stage myself. Even though I still feel like I'm in my 40s, I'm definitely in that stage. And in the move from Boston to Washington, I really did what is so important for people to do. I really thought about what's next for me. It involved a transition that was huge, and it involved an evaluation of what my values were and where I wanted to go with things. And so I really had taken that journey myself and could really empathize. And it's so exciting to me to meet with people who are sort of at the cusp of doing what is really for the first time in a long time, designing a life for themselves. You know, we start, probably in elementary school, all in lockstep, going through the school levels and finishing high school, and most of us go on to college, and then you finish college and you get a job, and then you find a life partner and start a family, and your choices are very much dictated by sort of the demands of the culture and then the demands of your family, and you end up living where you're going to find the best schools for your kids. And then finally, when your kids are grown up and gone, you have a chance to say, okay, now it's for me. What do I want to do? And you have a choice that you may, in fact, not have experienced either for many, many years or at all. And that can be really daunting to people. I mean, sometimes we say, you know, more options is more difficult than fewer options. The more choice you have, the harder it is to make a decision. So if the whole world is suddenly open to you, where do you go? How do you decide what to do first and where to look?
Well, that in and of itself can be, as you said, daunting. But
mm-hmm.
even adding to that that confusion, if you will, for lack of a better term, is the fact that the rules have changed. All of the rules have changed. The societal rules, in many cases, have changed. What's expected is of an individual has changed. The way women are treated has changed. What is acceptable for ways for men to treat women. All of these rules and some of these mores have changed to the point that you throw that on top of all of these other things that are so daunting, it could really be necessary to have somebody helping you and kind of supporting you in these efforts.
Absolutely. And it provides a kind of structure that I think is very helpful to people. And we have a way of sort of going step by step through the various components of a life that you need to consider. I'm not a financial planner, so I don't work with people around financial planning, as you said in the introduction. But that's not all that you need in order to have a balanced life. It's certainly important, and people, you know, when people think about what's next or stopping their primary career, they do think first of financial concerns. You know, can I afford to do that, and what are the needs that I'm going to have going forward, and how do I make sure that I have that kind of security for myself and my family? But that said, there are lots of other pieces of the pie to fit together in order to have a life that fits you well and that's exciting and growthful and the kind of life that you want to live. And those are things like, where do you want to live?
Right.
I've had people come in and say, well, you know, we don't want to stay here, but where do we go and how do we figure out where we want to go? Somebody came in not long ago and said, you know, we've been in this area for a long time and all of our friends are now moving to Florida and Arizona and out of the country, and we suddenly find that our social circle has really diminished. And so how do we, at our age, create a social circle for ourselves that's satisfying, or do we need to move too? And if so, where? So friends and family and social life is important. What your health is like now is certainly important. What your significant other wants to do is going to be important. what you do for fun and recreation or work, and what is going to give your life a sense of meaning and purpose. Those are all pieces of the puzzle that all need to sort of fit together in order to create a satisfying life.
And I will venture to say that even, well, I'll use my father as an example. He's deceased now, but he worked for many years in the automotive industry in Michigan. He was a divisional manager, had a very nice job, very good job, very responsible job. He was an engineering staff, and he retired at 55 because, frankly, he had his can full of it, and he had an offer for an early out, and he says, "I'm gone." Now, when he was working, okay, I know for a fact that he did not consider retiring at 55, because I know what he did when he was pondering his retirement at 55. And should he go on? And should he put up with any more of the hassles and the politics of working and so on and so forth, and of his position? And if was he going to get transferred laterally? Was he going to get promoted? And it was at the point he had worked so hard for so long, and he just said, "If they're going to sweeten my 55, my pot to get out at 55, I'm gone." But then that created another dilemma. Here is this 55-year-old man who has worked all of his life, raised a family, built two homes physically. I mean, he himself certainly built the first house that I lived in as a child.
Wow.
And raised his family, was a very successful man, had a boat out on the lake on Lake St. Clair in Michigan, and got his rental cars from Ford Motor Company every year, and I mean, he was living a nice life. And all of a sudden, just that quick, it's changed. And my thought, because he was a hard-driving guy, my thought was, this man's going to die of a heart attack. I know he's going to die of a heart attack because he's not going to know what the heck to do with himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, that man took to playing golf, went out and bought a pickup truck and a fifth wheel, and he and mother traveled, and they got on some cruise ships, and they went to Europe, and they did this, and they did that, and I went, wow, this is cool. You know, but he was able to make that shift, and shift in a way that he was thoroughly enjoying what he was doing.
That's fabulous.
But how many people don't? And I think that's my point. How many people don't?
You're right. And in fact, in many ways, I think it's in our culture, it's more challenging for men than it is for women, because men place so much of their identity on what they do for work. And you know, who they were in the work world, and when they lose that, or when they give it up, or when they take the early out, as your father did, for a lot of men, they do run into serious difficulty, either health wise or otherwise, because they don't have they lose a sense of who they are.
Right.
Your father really did a beautiful job of creating a wonderful new life for himself, which is great. Lots of men have difficulty doing that, and so it's really helpful to work with somebody in some sort of structured program to try to, you know, talk through what the possibilities are and where they want to go, and what's going to be meaningful for them. And certainly the kinds of things that your parents did, the travel, the leisure activities, and for lots of people, even continuing learning and education, are really wonderful and fulfilling. And lots of people get involved in volunteer kinds of opportunities. Some people combine that with continuing to do some work, either a little bit of consulting or other kinds of work that they are interested in doing, and put together a wonderful life. But you're absolutely right. For a lot of people, it's a big shock. And in fact, one of the exercises that I give people pretty early on is a blank weekly calendar. And I say to them, okay, here you are in your new life. How do you want this calendar to look? How are you going to fill your time in a week? And it's really a shock for a lot of people because a week is a lot of time.
Yes.
And if you're not going to your job on a regular basis, there's a lot of time to fill.
Yes. And I think also what becomes, in today's world, what becomes a shock is that all of a sudden they go into work and all of a sudden they are put into that world of what am I going to do through no choice of their own.
Right.
Whether it's a reduction in force, whether it's a layoff, whether it's the fact that now you've got to bid for your own job as a contractor, maybe the company's just plain flat going out of business. Maybe the company's moving and says to you, if you want to stay working with us, you got to come over here to Timbuktu and work in Timbuktu. And by the way, your salary's going to be cut. I mean, these types of things are the reality in today's world, and that's the shock. I mean, you know, at least my dad, when he did it, he had the options of do it or not do it, and if he did it, which he indeed chose to do, he had the wherewithal. But if you don't have the wherewithal, and now you're just thrown over the abyss, what the heck are you going to do? You're going to have somebody to help you out.
Absolutely, and so part of the work then becomes helping the person see what's the opportunity here. Yes, it's a shock, and in some ways, for many people, it can be really devastating. I don't know whether your father had a pension that he could rely on in addition to Social Security or in addition to the package that he got. But, you know, the days of people being able to count on a pension are long gone now. And so the financial side of it is certainly a big concern in looking at what the opportunities are. But, you know, that's exactly what happened to my husband, in fact. He was laid off from a large organization after we moved down here and looked around for consulting, and a lot of the kind of consulting that he had done in the past was no longer being funded because of the recession. And he really was at sea for a little while and then found a new passion that he has been totally engaged in since then, which is as a political activist. So he now has really invented a very different life for himself. It sometimes takes a while, and that's an important piece of the transition. If you look at what we've all done in transitions, there's sort of a initial stage that's kind of like a shock, and then we're adjusting to it, but we have a real sense of loss and what we've had to let go of, and then there's kind of an interim period where you're sort of looking at the opportunities and trying to figure out where you're going to fall. And then the third stage of that is when you begin to create something that feels alive and new and exciting for you. And it is so helpful to have a partner or several partners with you on that journey to keep your spirits up and to keep you focused and to keep you moving forward. It's not easy. It's not an easy transition.
Well, it's not an easy transition. And then if you are in that transition and you still have the responsibilities of a family, I mean, if it's you and your spouse, and your spouse has a career or not, let's say the spouse has something going on, that's one way, and it takes some of the pressure off. But if you still have kids in college, and you have the big house payment and whatever else, and you're coming down to the short rows of your workaday life, it's like all of a sudden here comes the avalanche, and you're just not at all prepared for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I have a client who is who's really done such a clever thing. He's in a major federal agency and not at all happy in his job, and he has about 5 years to retirement. And I was brought in to do some executive coaching with him, and he said immediately, you know, I really want to map out my exit strategy and take a look at what's next for me. And so now, 5 years out, he has begun constructing a second life for himself where he is becoming a university professor, and he's developing a whole new career. And that's really a very smart way to do it. He mapped out for himself what he wants to do in this year, and then next year when he'll be 4 years from retirement, and 3 years and 2 years and a year from retirement. And he has everything clearly mapped out, so he knows the steps, and he's beginning his journey now.
That's great. That's great.
It's a terrific way to do it. Many people come in when they have a year or so to go. Certainly, I think the more time you have, the better, but also things change. You can be walking down one path 5 years out and discover something else that you want to do before your first career ends and go off in an entirely different direction.
Right, right. It's amazing that people will say, and I'm using here the euphemistic they say, whoever they are, but they'll also say, oh, well, you can always be a consultant. And you can't always be a consultant.
That's right.
Sometimes
that's
you
right.
have, if you have lived in a structured situation, and your job has been the structured situation that you're most familiar with, you may have to find another structured situation because you may not be good as a freewheeling thinker trying to find your own client base and generating all kinds of your own income. You may have to have a job.
Exactly.
And that's okay, but you need to know that.
Exactly, exactly. And you're absolutely right. That's a transition. In fact, there are lots of coaches that have tried to make that transition and found that it's really difficult. It's not at all easy to be self-employed. You have to hustle your own jobs, and there's a lot of competition out there, and you're really in business for yourself, which is very, very different than working for an organization where you have a regular paycheck coming in and you report during certain hours, you know what's expected of you. If you're inventing it yourself, it's much harder. And so it's important to understand whether you need that kind of structure. And if so, how much structure? What kind of structure do you need? What's going to serve you best? Or if you want to go off on your own, what do you need to know? What do you need to do to prepare yourself to do that? And that's certainly an option, and coaches can help you develop those skills. I think it's much easier if you're developing them with a little bit of time to ease yourself into that rather than suddenly having to reinvent yourself if you've suddenly gotten laid off unexpectedly.
But the key here is I think you have to know what you don't know.
Yes. Yes. And so you have to have somebody who can ask you those questions and sort of ferret out that information and ask you the questions that, in fact, people shy away from looking at themselves because they're scary. And it helps to talk it through and have somebody bring it out into the light of day and help you see that, in fact, it's not that scary. And once you know, as they used to say on G.I. Joe, knowing is half the battle. You know, and once you know what you're facing, then you can begin to plan and begin to construct what you want for your life instead of just being in a state of anxiety and fear.
Well, regardless of whether it's looking for work, developing a new line of employment for yourself, creating a retirement that is going to be suitable for you and enjoyable for you and your family, it takes a plan. And it's just like any good business school or any good business coach tells you, you need to have a business plan.
Right.
And once you've got your business plan, then you need to have a marketing plan and so on and so forth. And it's that way, I would imagine, when you're trying to plan your retirement, you need to have a plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And work your plan.
That's right. And just as a business plan, nothing is written in stone. So, yes, it helps to have a plan, and plans can get revised along the way. But without a plan, you're just floundering around. So you're right. You need a plan. You need steps that are systematic so that you can begin to to understand how to put things together and how they're going to work. I mean, as I said, there are those different areas that you need to be able to look at, and you may say, okay, here's the work that I'm going to do, but then what about friends and family and social life? What are you going to do for fun and recreation? What's going to make your life feel meaningful for you? So there's more to it than just the work piece, although lots and lots of people are continuing to work in either a new career or doing consulting in their own career or volunteering, which is another thing that can be incredibly satisfying and rewarding for people. Serving on boards of, boards of different kinds of organizations. I had one client who came in and said, I've been in the government for 25 years now. I'm about to retire. It's always been my dream to go to Mexico and work with the Zapatistas. And I thought, whoo, that's courageous. And we put together a plan. She began studying Spanish. She began volunteering in a Hispanic social service agency in the area. And after a year, she was ready to go, and off she went. And I get postcards from her periodically. She's still in Mexico working with people in a way that's incredibly satisfying for her. She's got tons of energy, and she's built the life she wants to build.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
I'm going to show my ignorance. What are the Zapatistas?
The Zapatistas were a political movement back in the 70s, 80s. You'll probably get emails from people saying that I didn't know what I was talking about. They were revolutionaries at the time, and then they became much more integrated into the political system. And as I understand it now, they're very instrumental in providing social services to people in a particular section of Mexico. I'm not as well educated about that as I should be, but my client certainly was, and knew what she was about. She was not going down there to be a revolutionary. She was going to Mexico to provide social services. But the values of the political group were values that she could espouse. And values, I think, are a really important piece for people to look at. If you're thinking of what's left for you and what do you want to do with the time that's left to you, I think it's really important to think in terms of what your values are and what's most important and finding a way to live that embodies that. That's what tends to be truly satisfying and fulfilling for people. I don't know whether that was something that your father looked at and decided what was important to him and then integrated that into his life towards the end of his life, or whether that was something that he bypassed.
He always lived a life based on his values, regardless of what it was that he did.
Mm-hmm.
So it was never a conscience change for him. Whatever it was he did it within his value structure, and that was the way it was. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's just the way it was. There was no, the light was either on or off. It is not gray. That's the
right.
Kind of man he was. I mean, he's an engineer, so either
yep.
this formula fits or it doesn't fit. If it doesn't, we figure out why. I don't want any excuses as to why it didn't work. I want to know, make it work. I mean,
right.
That was the way he was, and that's the way he lived his life. I mean, you take care of your family, you pay your bills, you never back up to the pay window because you deserve every penny you worked for.
Mm-hmm.
You did it willingly and happily, and you went to work even if you were dying.
Good for him. Good for him. That's great.
That was the Scandinavian way of doing things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as you were telling me before the show, when we were talking about your own path, you made a decision to go into this form of radio based on your values because there was a clash with what you had done before. And so you weren't being able to maintain yourself true to your values. So you said, okay, I'm making a change.
Well, there that was a certain element of that. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we did a little bit of television, and that was just too expensive then. That was a monetary situation there.
Uh-huh.
And then we went to terrestrial radio here in Phoenix, and we didn't see that there was any results for anything. We couldn't tell whether or not, you know, these people were gladly taking our money and gladly saying, okay, here, we'll put you on the air. But beyond that, so now I'm running the whole show and I do my own thing, and I know that we got response because I can see what the numbers are. I know what the numbers are. So,
mm-hmm.
in that regard, it's that's true. So there's a certain element of that there.
And what I'm hearing is that it's really important to you to be able to make a positive impact.
I think that's right. I mean, you know, Deborah and I both try to do things. She volunteers with various organizations. She's been in Seroptimus, which is a women's organization, for many years, and I work with this food bank here. I'm on the board of directors for this food bank, and we try to have a positive approach to some of the things that we do. And
well, and even your show is a way of making a huge contribution. You're providing education. You're providing a forum for people to learn about this next stage of life and to be engaged with each other about that. I think it's a huge service.
Well, I appreciate that. We do enjoy doing it, and we do bring a lot of people on this radio show to talk about their specialties and their specialty in life and what they do and how it helps. So
in that regard,
you're right, and I do appreciate your notification that you're notifying that. I noticed
that. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're very much living your values.
Well, I just wish I could make some money living my values.
Don't we all?
Yeah, there's always that. Well, let's talk about that. And I know you don't. I know you're not a financial planner. I know you don't get involved in financial planning. But how often do you find, as a career coach, that the money, the need for the finances, is what drives the whole thing? And they'll come to you and they'll say, Susan, I want to do this, but I got to make some money at it. I got to do this, but I want to make some money at it, because I've got to pay the bills. Because they're not in a position of being able to say, like my dad was when he retired at 55, I've got a pension, I'll have Social Security, and the whole nine yards. I mean,
absolutely.
That retirement, that retirement that is not available anymore, he had it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That retirement that's not available anymore, my mother now has the benefit of that because she has his pension.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that she has is taken care of by that pension. And she only has to worry about one thing, and that's her health. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that doesn't happen very often. So how often are you facing together?
Well, and that comes up a lot, as I'm sure you can imagine. The world has really changed, and many people no longer have the safety net that they could once count on. And that's a reality, and that's a real stressor. So some of the work that I do with people about money has to do with, well, what is enough? What's sufficient? And how can you build a life that's satisfying for you without maybe the level of plenty that you might want to have, but it's still enough, and you can sustain yourself and your partner or yourself and your family in the way that you need to. You don't have to worry about starving or a roof over your head, hopefully. But, you know, if you look at the figures on happiness and what creates, what determines people's happiness, if you have less than $30,000 to $50,000 in our culture, having more makes a difference. But the difference between, say, $30,000 and $70,000 is maybe significant, but more than $70,000, it's really not significant in terms of the greater happiness that it brings to people. Because ultimately, as long as you have enough, and you don't have to worry about where your next meal is coming from, and you have a secure roof over your head, more money does not bring more happiness. In fact, for some people, you know, you hear about people winning the lottery, and by and large, over time, they don't do really well because having a lot of money can be really a problem. That said, it is important to have enough. And sometimes people need to adjust their lifestyles and their expectations, and that's a transition and an adjustment. And sometimes people need to get creative about how they're going to bring in money, and that requires some adjustment and transition. But the issue is really, what is sufficient? What do I really need that is enough? And after that, the rest is gravy. It might be nice to have, but it's not going to necessarily make me happier.
What advice can you give to the person who, when they were working, they're approaching their retirement, when they retire, if they retired at the age of 65, let's say,
mm-hmm.
that they were going to have their Social Security, and that's probably all they were going to have with Social Security. And they probably, well, I'm just going to get a real hypothetical here. Let's say they've got a little house, but they're still going to be paying on it for some time. But their job that they have right now is taking care of that, and they don't have any positive income. Everything is pretty much all gone at the end of the month. And they know when they retire, they're going to have their Social Security, and they get forced out prior to that retirement, and now they're really hurting, and they can't afford anything. I mean, I'm not saying that living lavishly anywhere. What kind of advice can you give them? And the fact is, they maybe don't even know that there is such a thing as a life coach. I mean, because that's something that is not within their sphere of knowledge. Because you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I do see what you're saying, Pete.
So if they don't even know a life coach exists, what kind of advice might you give them?
Well, what I would suggest is that they do consult a financial planner, and there are organizations that provide financial planning either for free or for low cost. There are also resources through organizations like AARP. That would help them to really figure out what their options are and help them to do some planning. It might make sense for them to look at selling their house and moving to some place that that was less expensive to live. It might also make sense for them to move somewhere where there might be some different job opportunities for them. Without the specifics, it would be hard to say, but I guess my biggest piece of advice would be to find somebody who can give you some advice and guidance and help you talk through the possibilities to see what your options are so that you're not struggling all by yourself to try to figure it out. There's nothing like getting some support to help give you courage and creativity and a new perspective. And not that everything's going to be roses. It's not. It's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough, and it is for a lot of people now. And yet, there are always options and possibilities. And as long as you have the hope of having some possibilities and some opportunities, then you can keep going. But it's sometimes important to have allies in helping you maintain that hope. So I would suggest that they look for those allies, whether it's a life coach, whether it's a group in their community that is getting together to talk about those kinds of issues, whether it's AARP or some other kind of organization that works specifically with people around retirement issues. There are resources out there, and it's really helpful to have allies in that struggle.
Yeah, I agree with that. And what kind of brought that to the top of my head here today is that I just had occasion to talk to Jesse, the executive director and founder of this food bank. And we were talking about the fact that he's going to be moving his location to a new and larger location because of the tremendous need that there is.
Mm-hmm.
Area. Now, Deborah and I and my mother live in Sun City, which is a retirement community. Sun City has always thought of all those retired rich folks that have retired there, and they've got their pensions, and they play golf, and so on and so forth. Well, let me tell you something, boys and girls. Those retired rich folks are outliving their pensions, and
mm-hmm.
they're outliving their money, and they are coming to the food bank for food.
Wow.
And that's the kind of thing that these people, proud, have contributed to society, and this is a societal issue, and I don't want to get into that, but the fact
absolutely.
The fact is, these people need to have some help, and they're not afraid to work. Some of them just can't work anymore. They're
mm-hmm.
elderly. They can't work.
And, mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then if you take that same kind of an arrangement and you put that into a person that's 55 years old, is in the same situation, and they've not that they've outlived their money, it's just that their money dried up because they lost their job, and they're in the same situation coming to the same food bank, getting the same food as the people that are 85. I mean, what the heck can a life coach do with those people? I mean, help them find some services, but beyond that, I mean, what? Because they have no wherewithal.
You know, it's a great question, Pete, because I think that you're absolutely right. It is a societal issue. It's a culture issue. It's a public policy issue, and you know, we're not. I don't think life coaches are addressing those kinds of issues with people individually, and it's not something that we can have an impact on in a life coaching relationship. That said, there are always options for people, and certainly somebody in their 50s, one option may be to live in another country where they can live far better on their Social Security than they can here. Or they may need to look, if they're not willing to do that, they may need to look at living in a part of the country that is much less expensive. That's hard because then they're leaving friends, they may be leaving family. I mean, it's a very complicated question. And I think in many ways our culture may be in some significant difficulty at the moment around those issues because there are millions of people in the situation that you're describing.
You're absolutely right, and I think it is a cultural thing. And a typical example is in my own home. My mother owns the house that she lives in, small second mortgage on it to when we put an addition on it for my
mm-hmm.
dad. But nonetheless, everything that she has, all of her bills and everything, are paid for by that pension and everything that I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
She is the exception, not the rule. But if she were to have any more issues than she has right now, she would have to sell everything that she has, cash everything in, so that she could be cared for, and that money would undoubtedly run out.
That's right.
And she would be in the same situation as any of these other folks that I see from day to day. And the answer is back to what it used to be. I mean, we're going back to the future here, I think,
mm-hmm.
that the nuclear family has to hang together longer.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I think we have to find in our society a higher level of compassion mm-hmm. and to think about taking care of our own. I mean, really, just because someone isn't in your nuclear family doesn't mean that they're not a countryman or somebody in the same town or village that needs help. And historically, we've pitched in and helped when people were in need. And it may be that we're going back to that. I think we've become a nation of very isolated nuclear families that are all sort of on their own. And we may need to find a higher degree of compassion in our society.
Charity.
I realize that's a bigger question than
well, yeah, and we're
than life coaching.
And we're getting off the subject of life coaching in this way we're talking to you. But I'm going to end it by saying charity starts at home, period.
Absolutely.
End of conversation. Let's leave it
absolutely
there.
And your mother is very fortunate to have you and your partner taking care of her so well.
Well, she took care of my dad too, so I've seen it progress right down the line. That's just the way it
goes. Mm-hmm.
What does someone, I guess the question is, does someone have to give up who they are when they move into a new life, or how do you make them, allow them to transition or help them transition without losing their identity?
Well, you know, we tend to think of ourselves as static and unchanging, but in fact, we're changing all the time, and we're always creating new worlds for ourselves, and we're always building on the past. So, no, you don't have to give up who you are. You're broadening and building who you are as you move into the next stage. And, you know, if you look back, you made a transition to college and had to adjust to that, and then building on that, you made a transition to a job, maybe many jobs in the course of your life, and then building and a transition to creating a family and becoming a parent and what that meant. When you become a parent, you don't become a whole new person, although you certainly add some elements that you didn't have before.
Boy, do
you. Boy, you sure do, and I know that from having raised three kids and now watching five grandchildren growing. And I see in my children the impact of becoming parents. And so when you move into the third chapter, you're really broadening who you are and building on who you are. That's the foundation that you're operating from. It's like your diving board, you know, you're jumping off from that point. So no, you don't give up who you are. You supplement who you are, you add to it.
The package gets bigger.
Does that answer your question?
It does. No, it does. The package gets bigger and hopefully better.
Exactly. Exactly.
More well-rounded. And, mm-hmm. and hopefully people understand and realize that.
Yes, and the trick, I think, is to continue to see everything as an opportunity. And to ask yourself, what's the opportunity here for growth for me?
Challenges and opportunities, that's what we have.
Yep. Never ending. That's life.
That's right. And as long as you wake up in the morning and you still have more challenges and still have more opportunities, that's a good thing.
That's because absolutely right.
If you wake up, it's still here. Yeah, that's right. I say that if my feet touch the ground and off the edge of the bed, I said, then I get up and I move around and I do my day.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good day.
That's right. It is. Well, it's been a good day for us, Susan, talking with you for this last hour. And,
well, I have enjoyed it so much.
And as have I. Why don't you, if you don't mind, and I'm sure you probably don't, give us information on how people can contact you. I'm assuming you can do your coaching anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world.
Absolutely.
So
I actually have clients all over the world, and some of them I meet with on Skype, and some of them I meet with on the phone, and that's very common with us coaches. So people could reach me through my website at www.susanbraverman.com. It's very simple, makes it easy. They can email me at susan@susanbraverman.com, or they could even give me a call at area code 301-320-2177, and I'd be happy to talk with anybody about these issues and see if I can help out.
Well, I tell you, it's been a wonderful hour, and I'm sure anybody that is in need of a life coach or feels that they're in need of a life coach would do very well by talking to you, and I'm certainly glad that we've had the opportunity to get to know each other at least over the phone at any rate. So thanks again for being with us, and we do appreciate the time that you've taken.
Thank you so much, Pete. I really enjoyed it.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you. And thanks again for everybody joining us today here on the Boomer and the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio. We've been listening to the Boomer and the Babe on Blog Talk, where we bring good conversation to the world. Today we brought you information and conversation with Susan Braverman, Life Coach. SusanBraverman.com is her website. If you have any needs or have any questions with regard to life coaching and transitions, please give her a call, or you can go on get her via her website, SusanBraverman.com. You can listen to the Boomer the Babe Show every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast time. Remember, we do more than host this radio show on Blog Talk. Check us out at BoomerAndTheBabe.com. Join in and become a subscriber to our Boomer Experience Speaks online magazine, and figure out how other ways that maybe the Boomer the Babe Incorporated can help you in your business and in anything else that you're involved in with regard to this wonderful world of boomerdom. So make sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. Enjoy Deborah's show this afternoon at 12 o'clock, and we'll be talking to you again. We have more good shows online for you for the rest of the week, so please come back and hear what we have. Thanks again. Have a great day. Boomer the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.